Would you like to turn to the book of 3 John, please? There's a few Bibles around, if anyone needs one. If you're in a church Bible, we are page 1230. Basically, turn to the end of the Bible, get to Revelation, come back through Jude, and you're in 3 John. It's a book I was thinking about with Morden Road Church yesterday, and just wanted to share two thoughts from it this afternoon. The first one to lead us towards the Lord's Supper, and then secondly to guide our prayers. 3 John is really a book of examples, positive and negative, as we think about how to live the Christian life. I want to direct your attention, first of all, to Diotrephes. There in verse 9. John is writing to the church, and there is trouble in this church because of this man, Diotrephes. John writes, verse 9, "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he's doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church." This man, Diotrephes, he makes it into the Bible, but I don't think he'll be glad to be there. He is a man who loves to be first. It is a helpful thought for us as we come to the Lord's table recognizing our own sin, to see what an issue that is for each and every one of us. John is the great writer about love in the gospel, in his letters. I'm constantly speaking about God's love towards us and calling us to love one another. If you were to ask John what the opposite of love is, he wouldn't give the usual answer. The usual answer would be the opposite of love is hate. It's true, it's important, you can find that written across the Bible. But for John, having glimpsed God's love towards us, that love that moves towards others and puts them first, For John, in lots of ways, Diotrephes is the opposite of love, because he's not loving others, he's loving himself. And that is a really humbling thought to kind of take into our own lives to reflect there. If we think of the call to love and its opposite, hate, we might easily let ourselves off the hook a little and say, well, I don't go around hating people. I'm not snarling and hating them and pouring that out online or in person or even in my heart. But this verse asks us a much more probing question. If we love, whom do we love? Do we love ourselves, and do we love to be first? And it is very easy, as Diotrephes was doing, to be there in church and to seem to be doing all of the right things. But not to be loving, and instead to be putting himself first. How easy I find it, just in my mind, to constantly think, well, what is going to serve me? What is going to make me most comfortable? What's going to give me the kind of prominence I want? So it is a searching verse, I think, to recognize that we might say the opposite of love is hate. But sometimes the opposite of love is self-love, a loving to be first. Something that John himself knew about, isn't it? John, who writes this very short letter. Remember that time when, along with his brother James, he comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asks. "Well, let us sit at your left and your right in your kingdom. We want to be first." John knew it. Diotrephes is not this great exception to the rule. He's an example of what is in each one of us. Join me, if you would, back in the book of 3 John, where we're going to spend just a little bit longer. We thought about Diotrephes, that man who loved to be first, an instinct that we recognise in ourselves. Now, let's hear about Gaius. Gaius is the one who receives this letter to 3 John. John, the apostle, writes, calling himself the elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. And then down in verse 5, we learn more about what Gaius is about. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you're doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honours God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people, so that we may work together for the truth. It's as close as this book gets to mentioning Jesus, the name. There are those who have gone out in the name, for the sake of the name of Jesus, and they are receiving no help from the pagans. This seems to be a way of describing those who are going out to spread the good news of the gospel. It reminds us of how Jesus sent his followers out, saying, don't take things with you that you'll be provided for. And the way that Paul ministered and didn't want to rely on those he was trying to reach out, but would support himself and be supported by the churches. And those who receive no help from the pagans, but go out to spread the good news of Jesus. And Gaius is a model of hospitality in that. He is the one who is faithful in what he is doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to him. People have come into the church in the name of Jesus, and they have cared for them, they've provided for them, and they have sent them on. In that way, they are working together for the truth. What I want us just to reflect on very briefly is just how central a thing that is for the church, that this act of hospitality really goes to the heart of the gospel. Just think of how John's gospel begins. It begins with this message of Jesus coming, sent by the Father into a world that is inhospitable towards him. He came to the world and the world did not understand him, and he came to his own and his own did not receive him. But to those who did, he gave the right to be called children of God. Jesus steps into an inhospitable world. And then he sends us into that same world that is not going to welcome news about Jesus. You see it, don't you, in John's Gospel. Do you remember the story of the blind man? He is healed by Jesus. People ask him, what's happened to you? How has all of this happened? He's really blunt. He's really honest. I met Jesus. Jesus has healed me, and tells his story. And what do they do to him? They put him out of the synagogue. Just like Diotrephes here is seeking to put people out of the church at the end of verse 10. And the world is inhospitable to Jesus and to his messengers. And so we are to be those who show that kind of hospitality, because we know God is trying to move out towards the world, to reach out in love to it, sending his people out into the world. And so the way that we can labour together for the truth is to take hold of that, to welcome all those who come in the name of Jesus, whether they're known to us or not. It's another lesson that John actually had to learn. There's that moment in the Gospels where Jesus has sent his disciples out. And in Mark chapter 9, they come back, and they come back reporting the success that they've had as they've been out preaching and performing miracles. But they also say, we met some people who were casting out demons in your name. And John says to Jesus, we told them to stop because they weren't one of us. These people were out there performing miracles in the name of Jesus, strangers and not one of us. And John's thought was, well, they're not one of us. They're not part of our group, so they should stop. What he's learned here, I think, is that it doesn't matter whether this is somebody who is a stranger to us, whether this is somebody who is like us or not. If they come or if they go in the name of Jesus, they are to be welcomed. They are to be treated as brothers and sisters. So friends, this work of supporting those who go in the name of Jesus and who come in the name of Jesus, treating one another as brothers and sisters on that basis, that shows that we've understood the gospel, the great gospel of God stepping into this world